Live.
Welcome back, everyone. Episode 81 of Kids Deserve It. We hope you've been enjoying our weekly chats with educators and game changers from around the country. Also, don't forget, you can check us out on iTunes.
And while you're over on iTunes, make sure you leave a review for us because we select a winner each week from reviews on iTunes to send you an autographed book set from Adam and me.
Also, don't forget to join our Kids Deserve It chat on Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. This week, we got another great guest, but first we want to introduce ourselves. I am Adam Welcome, Director of Innovation in the Bay Area of California.
I'm Todd Nesloni, Elementary School Principal in Navasota, Texas, and I'm thrilled, so excited about our guest this week, who is author Jeff Zintner. So Jeff, thanks for being with us this week.
Hey, everybody. Good to be with you.
We also want to remind people to participate on social media using the hashtag #KidsDeserveIt, whether you're watching live or listening to this recording later. We always love seeing the things that stick out to you.
So, Jeff, we got a few questions for you. So, for those that don't know about you, tell us about yourself.
Well, I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I used to be a musician for a lot of years, all through my 20s and kind of midway through my 30s before I switched over and started writing books. I work a day job as a prosecutor for the state of Tennessee. So I lock up murderers and rapists and, you know, bad people. And on the bus to and from work every day, I write books about good people for good people to read. So,
wow.
So that's kind of a little bit about myself. I don't know if I said this, I live in Nashville, Tennessee. I'm a recent Nashville Predators fan, recent hockey fan. So there's a little bit about myself.
Awesome. Well, I know that you mentioned you're a writer on the side. So you have two pretty popular books that are out that I know about. One of them is The Serpent King and one of them is Goodbye Days. And I got to tell you, I read The Serpent King, finished it reading it about a week ago. And I talk about it everywhere that I go now. It was such an impactful, powerful story. I know that a good friend of mine, Jennifer Lagarde and Travis Crowder, recommended it. And Jennifer was like, make sure you have two boxes of Kleenex because it's one of those ugly cry books. It's not just one of those you're going to have shed a couple tears. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about these stories?
The Serpent King came from two songs that I had written. And when I was moving over from being a musician to being a writer, I had all these perfectly good ideas in my songwriting catalog. And I took two of them that I thought had more of a story to them than I'd originally told. And I couldn't decide which one I wanted to write about. So I mushed them together and I put them in the same book. And that was the idea for The Serpent King. And then I basically wrote characters who were the people I was interested in at that time. I was interested in fashion bloggers, teen fashion bloggers. I thought that was an interesting phenomenon. I've always been interested in people who are big fantasy nerds and who are part of fandoms. And I'm interested in people who struggle with faith and who use music as an escape from, you know, a potentially not great life that they live in. So that's kind of where The Serpent King came from. And it really was, I wrote it to try to create something for young adults. I had been volunteering at a music camp for teenagers called Tennessee Teen Rock Camp. And I really fell in love with the way teenagers approach the art that they love and the way they interact with it and the way they allow it to become part of their identity and who they are. And I thought, this is a great audience to create for. I want to create for them. But at that point, I was too old to make the kind of music that gets marketed to them. So I had to switch and figure out something new to do. So that's why I wrote The Serpent King.
Very nice. Well, I can guess you've kind of alluded a little bit, but maybe tell us, where do you draw your inspiration from? And it seems like a mid-career switch. Like, where does your, has writing always come easy? And then you just kind of found your voice for writing in general?
No, I didn't start writing until like 2013. So I really, wow. I never had any creative writing classes, nothing like that. I didn't ever think of myself as a writer. I've always been a big reader, but I never thought of myself as a writer. So, I just kind of figured it out. I read a lot of good books and I just did it. That's kind of how you have to do writing, is you have to just go do it.
I love that. So, you know,
so do you, do you,
Go ahead, Adam.
I was going to say, do you think your day job, quote unquote, gives you the inspiration? You kind of alluded to a little bit, like riding the bus. Does that kind of help drive some of your stories in addition to some of these songs that have been an inspiration?
I mean, there's a little bit. In The Serpent King, you know, my main character's father goes through some legal difficulties. That was inspired by stuff I had at work. Mm-hmm. In Goodbye Days, the main character is under the threat of legal consequences for what he does. And that is something that I came up with, you know, kind of using my legal knowledge and know-how. So a little bit, but I would say mostly writing is kind of an escape from what I see in my day job, which is, you know, a lot of really awful stuff and sad things and people getting hurt and just kind of the worst that humanity has to offer.
Right.
Sure.
Well, you know, a lot of our listeners are educators. Is there any kind of advice as a writer or somebody who works with people who have been even incarcerated? I mean, both those sides, that you would give to teachers who are working with students?
I mean, I would always just say to, you know, man, I could not presume to tell educators about educating. So what I'm saying here is mainly for, I guess, people who aren't as familiar with teenagers, and that is that teenagers are extremely intelligent. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have such an incredible and mature intelligence. Now, they may not have the experience that you have as an adult, but they're very, very, very intelligent, and there's almost nothing that you can put past them that they're not able to understand, that they can't process. So, you know, when I hear people talking about books that have teenagers talking in sophisticated, intelligent ways, and they say that's unrealistic, it really bothers me. Right. Because it's very condescending. It underestimates the intelligence of teenagers. That's what I would say, is to always keep in mind how smart teenagers are and how able they are to understand and wrestle with difficult ideas, and that they don't need to be protected or sheltered from ideas. They can work through ideas on their own.
Awesome.
So, Jeff, what was school like for you growing up?
I liked school a lot. I liked learning. I liked, you know, I was a good student. Socially, it was difficult for me. I always had kind of a hard time fitting in as a kid. So socially, I didn't care for it. But in terms of the school work, I really enjoyed it. I was big on learning. I loved reading. I did so much reading on my own that I kind of coasted through like my first, you know, 8 grades of school. And it was only then that I had to kind of start studying and applying myself. But that's kind of what my experience was like.
Nice.
Awesome. So, you know, one thing that I talk a lot about and that I'm working with other educators on is finding, you know, you just talked about, you read a lot when you were younger. And so I think it's so important now for our educators and for people in general to find literature that we are reading or giving to our kids that have characters that not only we can relate to, but also features characters that are nothing like them. Why do you feel like it's important for, as an author, for you to present those different types of characters for readers to read about?
Because, I mean, that reflects the world we live in. I mean, the world we live in is a diverse world, and there's many, many, many different kinds of experiences. And I think literature should reflect life. And I think it should reflect the world these kids live in. If you want kids to connect with your story, it has to ring true to them. And it won't ring true to them if there's whole swaths of the population that are just not, you know, have no voice in your books or just go unacknowledged. And, you know, inevitably every book is going to leave some people out, but,
right.
But, you know, what I see, what I see teen literature doing on the whole is really trying to make sure that different voices are represented and different viewpoints. And I think that's fundamentally important to building empathy, which is a quality that our society desperately needs.
Right.
Yes. Yes, they do. I'll ditto that one. So who is someone that inspires or challenges you to be better?
Who is someone who challenges me or inspires me to be better? In terms of writers or artists?
However you want to interpret that.
Mm-hmm.
I really love the writer Cormac McCarthy. I love his writing. Mm-hmm. But more than that, I admire the way he really lets his writing speak for himself, and he doesn't, you know, he turns down speaking engagements, and he turns, you know, he doesn't, you know, go out in the world. And obviously, you know, I like to get out in the world and talk to people. I'm doing this interview right now, but I also admire that he's willing to let his writing speak for himself. And I think there's a happy middle ground. I think you can go out and be a writer who interacts with the world and also trust your writing to speak for itself. And so I really admire that. I think he's got a lot of integrity. I've really got a weird set of heroes. I really like the MMA fighter, Conor McGregor. I think he's a very interesting guy. I think people who go out and talk a big game and set high expectations for themselves and then meet or exceed those expectations, I admire that. I think that's a really courageous quality, and I like that a lot.
Definitely.
I love that. So obviously, Jeff, you know, all of us have rough days, and some of those days we just don't even want to get out of bed, or we don't even want to go through things. What do you kind of do when you're having a rough day to kind of kick your butt into gear and make it happen anyway?
I remember that I'm going to die someday, and it's going to be it's going to come a lot quicker than I expect. I genuinely do, you know, that's a motivator for me, is thinking a lot about death and how it claims all of us. We're all going to die. It's going to happen sooner than we think, and we just don't have time. You don't have time to waste even a single day of your life. You never get it back. So that's what I think about.
All right, Jeff, every week we like our guests to leave a challenge for our viewers. What is your challenge for the week?
I challenge you this week to pick up and read a book by an author who you've never read before.
I think that is a perfect challenge.
Nice.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for giving us some of your time. I know you're probably crazy busy doing 1,000 different things, but I really appreciate just getting to hear from you and getting to have you on our little show here.
You bet. It was my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jeff.
We also want to thank our listeners for listening to the show. Remember, you can tweet us using the hashtag KidsDeserveIt, as well as make sure you're checking us out on iTunes and our Twitter chats on Wednesday. Make sure you join us for our guests next week. Everybody have a great week.
Thanks, guys.